Book of Joshua, the first chapter. We began last week looking at this book, a series I've entitled Living by Faith in Difficult Days. I want to continue this study. And as we begin this morning, I'd like to ask you a question. Who do you listen to? Who is it that speaks into your life? Thought of titling the message, What Are the Voices in Your Head? But thought probably shouldn't go there. But what is the conversation that takes place? My second semester of my senior year in college, I had the opportunity of traveling with a ministry team with five other guys. And we had a great time together. We developed lasting friendships. Almost 40 years later, we all keep in touch on social media, except for one of the guys who is in a restricted access country, and I keep up with him through a relative who gives me regular updates of what's going on in his life. So we develop great friendships, and I need to say that up front with this illustration, because six guys in a van for 17 weeks is a real adventure. We set some certain policies or procedures to provide clarity, and one of those was that we each had a designated day to drive the van. And then the day after you drove, you would move over to the passenger seat and be the navigator. Now, for our young people, understand, this was before GPS. There were no mobile phones back then. There weren't Google Maps, Garmin, iPhone, mapping apps, not even BlackBerry maps were available yet. And so you had to use paper maps. And it didn't always display the roads accurately. And the problem was we were traveling in the Midwest in winter from Texas to Minnesota, January to May, and some of these roads, you didn't know where you were. And so having a navigator was very important. Major roads were usually easy to find, but sometimes the secondary roads became complicated. And there were many moments of indecision where it was the navigator's responsibility to guide the driver. But being a bunch of college guys, we all were more than willing to offer our input. And actually, it didn't really matter what the input was. We just wanted to have many voices sharing multiple possibilities. And just adding to the confusion, it made the trip much more exciting for all of us. And I can remember times we'd come to a four-way stop and somebody would call out, turn right, no, turn left, no, go straight. And no matter what the driver did, if it wasn't right, we would say, what did you do that for? Didn't matter whose advice he followed, we would question it, and it was all in good fun, and it usually went okay, except for one time. And this time stands out in my mind, because our team leader was a rather soft-spoken individual, and he was the navigator that day. And we were in the middle of nowhere, came to one of these moments of uncertainty, and we all offered our input, and the driver made a choice that ended up being wrong. And so we're in the wrong place, and we're all chiming in saying, what did you do that for? And he just wasn't seeing the humor in it. The rest of us were at that moment. And I still remember as he pulled the van over onto the shoulder of the road, hopped out, standing in the road, and turning back to those of us in the back of the van saying, one of you drive. And our leader is sitting there saying, calling him by name, and then turning to us, and is back and forth trying to settle everybody down. And finally, it got settled down. We realized, okay, we had pushed that one a little too far. But what was it that caused the confusion? Why did he get angry and frustrated? And the truth is, it was conflicting voices. It was lots of input coming in, then conflicting information, and then making a choice based on uncertainty. How often does that happen to us? How many times do we get that anxiety, that frustration, and even the fear that we feel today because of the voices coming in? So who speaks into your life? What is it that's causing the frustration, the anger, because of who we're listening to? And what I want us to consider this morning is that question. You know, who speaks into your life? Do we allow God to speak in? Getting direction for life from the right source is crucial. It's vital for confidence and proper direction. And when God's servants take time to listen, He communicates. He's given us His word. And this morning, I want us to see what the Lord says to Joshua in this first chapter. And I think these words can encourage us as well. If you have your Bibles open, follow with me as I begin reading in Joshua chapter 1. We'll look at the first 9 verses. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." In these verses, we find the Lord admonishing and encouraging Joshua. And what we're going to see from this is if you hearken and consistently hearken to God's word, it will allow you to courageously live for Him. Consistently hearkening to the word of the Lord will allow you to be courageous in your life. And we're going to look at that from this passage this morning. The first thing that we see in these verses is Joshua is told to move forward. He's being told, continue. The book begins with the death of Moses. And that's emphasized. It's emphasized in verse 1. It's emphasized in verse 2. The responsibility to lead the children of Israel into the promised land now falls to Joshua. I do think it's interesting. In the first verse, it says, God spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. And what's interesting is Joshua's father is mentioned 29 times in the Bible in connection with his son. Think how his dad must have been pleased that Joshua is being faithful in serving the Lord. Proverbs 10 verse 1 says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." Proverbs 23, verse 24 says, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begats a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." I think as we've looked at the life of Joshua, how important it is that we make those choices. Young people, are you living in a way that will cause your parents to rejoice? Are you living in a way that you allow them to speak into your life? Do you listen to their advice? As the father in Proverbs said, "My son, give me your heart." You know, your parents probably know you better than your peers. And they want the best for you. No, even unsaved parents generally want the best for their kids. And so there needs to be that willingness to be teachable, to listen. And so we find that this Joshua is mentioned, his father is mentioned many times in this book and through the Old Testament. But we know that God chose Joshua. Everyone in Israel knew that. God had prepared Joshua for this task, but he didn't just spring onto the scene. And we saw last week the seven stops in Joshua's path that prepared him for leadership. God used those moments to prepare him. He learned the importance of prayer, the power of that, the importance of a right view of God and spending time with the Lord. And now the weight falls to him. He's to move forward. The first thing that we see is he's not to look back. He says, arise. Now, therefore. I wonder if there were moments that Joshua longed for the past. If he looked back on the past and said, you know, I wish I could go back there. I wish I could live there. I wish I was carrying Moses' tent rather than having to lead. You know, maybe there had been times in the desert where he thought, you know, Moses gets to be up on the mountaintop praying and I'm having to fight the battles down here. And now he's in charge. And he learns there's a target on him. Any time you're at the top box of a flow chart, there's going to be those shots that come. And how important it is to walk with the Lord. That there's so much going on, the importance of prayer. But I wonder if there were moments where if Joshua had those WWMD moments, you know, what would Moses do? But he wasn't to look back. In fact, of all of those over 20 years old that had come out of Egypt, only Joshua and Caleb were going to go into the promised land. Not Moses, not Aaron. I mean, these were men who had lived their lives serving the Lord, but they failed to honor God before the people and didn't go into the land. Joshua had been faithful. It was a time of preparation. It was a time to go forward. And folks, we need to remember that God will use preparation times in our lives to prepare us for what's ahead. We have to be willing to go. We learn from the past, but we don't live in the past. We learn the lessons we need to, the blessings, the warnings, but we don't live there. Jesus said in Luke 9, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We don't live in the past. We're to not look back, and we're also not to stand still. It says, now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. He's got a responsibility. He's to keep moving. Don't delay. Be ready. This verse indicates, in fact, in verse 11 tells us it's going to be 3 days. In 3 days, they will be crossing the Jordan. And when they cross the Jordan River, that is like stepping into the ring for the battle. It's stepping in for the fight. It's throwing down the gauntlet. Because while they're on the east side of the Jordan, there's still this separation from that land. But once they cross, all the people in that land know that Israel is coming. So imagine the excitement, the anxiety. I mean, what memories might have flooded Joshua's mind? He had spied out this land 40 years earlier. He had seen the cities. He had seen the giants. I wonder if he thought, well, wonder what's changed. How are things different? What do we need to prepare for? I wonder if he had second thoughts. He didn't need to because God has promised him the land. And it's God's to give. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. The world and all those who dwell therein. This is my Father's world. He can give the land to whoever he wants. It was God's land to give, and he had promised it to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. That promise is repeated in verse 5. And we see that when it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. He's given that promise, that encouragement. So live by claiming those spiritual promises. Folks, this is what God has for us. That same promise that I will not leave you is repeated in the New Testament for us. So what enemies do you need to defeat? Oh, we're not facing fortified cities and giants in the land, but maybe it's the giant of anxiety. You know, with all this going on in our culture, I saw a study recently that 55% of teens say they have experienced anxiety. 43% depression, 61% increased feelings of loneliness. This was a study done in May. I mean, the dominant story that keeps hitting our news is of the disease, and as our media keeps hyping that and the fear that comes, do we truly understand our times are in God's hands? Now, we're trying to be careful. We've taken steps, and you saw that even as we did the Lord's table today. We have masks available in the foyer. We're trying to be careful, but we're trusting the Lord also. We don't want to be governed by fear. We want to live by faith. Now, we don't want to be foolish, but do we understand that God's in control? You know, maybe if the anxiety just keeps rising, you need to turn off the news, the bad news, and get into the good news. Trust in the Lord. Lean on Him. Understanding that. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Is your heart troubled this morning? Are the voices in your head just stirring things up? Well, who are you listening to? Who's speaking into your life? Maybe it's guilt. 1 John 1, 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." My forgiveness is based on His faithfulness, not mine. What a blessing that is. Maybe it's fear. Isaiah 41, 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Claim these spiritual promises. Get moving. God has given us horizons ahead of us. When our scripture reading this morning was from John chapter 6, and it told about Jesus walking on the water and calming the storm. When you read that account in Matthew 14, there's another part of it that's shared. Remember what Peter did. As Jesus comes walking on the water and he comes to the boat, and Peter calls out and says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And he does. He steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water and probably sliding down these waves. And it says, when he saw the wind boisterous, he began to sink. Now, I'm speculating, but I also wonder if some of the apostles back in the boat were yelling too. You know, "Don't go that way. No, go this way. Why'd you do that?" No, maybe they weren't college students. But it was when he saw the wind, he saw the waves, that he turned away from what God had said. Now Peter was willing to step out of the boat, and when he began to sink, he called out to the Lord. Folks, that's where we need to turn. When we begin to sink, and maybe you're here today and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ. He came into this world to save you. Call out to Him. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Confess your sin. He will save. That is the joyful sound. That is the good news. Jesus saves. But folks, we need to step out by faith and keep moving forward. Don't be tied to the past. Don't stand still. The second thing, though, that we see in this passage is be brave. Be strong and of a good courage, for this people you shall divide the land for an inheritance. That was the promise. So be strong and very courageous. What we see is don't give up. That they're being told, go into this land. This was promised territory, but they had to conquer it. They had to do battle. You know, we understand, according to Scripture, that if you are saved, you're on the winning side. But are there battles that you still need to fight? Are there habits that you're not getting victory over? Are there areas where you're struggling that need to be conquered? There is conflict ahead. Don't give up. To this people, Joshua didn't have to do it alone. They were going as a unified nation. That's one reason we need a church family. That's why a time of communion, to remember we're part of a body. That's why we partake together as one body. We need one another. I've said before, Satan wants you alone. Satan wants us isolated. That's one of the great dangers with what's happening in our culture. That's why depression is rising. That's why suicide is rising. Those our staff that are our chaplains in the military are constantly dealing with this. Because Satan wants us alone. He was a murderer from the beginning. He delights in death. But, you know, sometimes our struggle is we don't really want victory over sin. Oh, we don't want to be controlled by it, but we kind of like to play around the edges. We want to enjoy some of the pleasure, and we kind of wonder if God really has what's best for us. Whose voice is that? Has God really said? That's the voice of Satan. When you start questioning the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, you're not getting that from the Bible. Whose voice are you listening to? See, without the right communication, the right voices speaking into your life, you're going to lose confidence. You're going to lose direction. And, well, maybe I should go this way because it sure looks good. Well, that looks like fun, or maybe I should go this way. And no, trust the Lord. Well, I don't see how it's going to work. No, but He does. He's trustworthy. Do we want to change? Don't give up and don't stop short. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do all the law. If you read through the book of Joshua, one of the things that you find is the children of Israel did not claim all of the territory that God had promised them. Even what's laid out here. They didn't conquer all of it. There were times they stopped short. They got sidetracked. They decided rather than defeating the enemy, they would make an agreement with the enemy. They left those pockets of resistance. I wonder if sometimes that's not our problem. We don't want to live in defeat, but do we want to press on to victory? It says in the New Testament that you've not yet strived to the ultimate end in resisting sin. God wants you to live in victory, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Temptation is not sin, but it's a call to battle. When we are tempted, that's when we have to go to war. So we have to be willing to part with sin. Battles will come, but don't stop short, and do not be defeated in the thought process. Now, is there a thought process that keeps you locked in your anger, your temper, your rage, your lust, your rudeness? Drive it out. Don't settle. There's a danger of misdirected fear. Well, I might fail. No, fear the Lord. If we have a fear of the Lord, we're not going to fear failure or change or death. We're going to fear not hearing well done. If you live in the fear of the Lord, you don't have to fear people and circumstances. And folks, we need to understand, as we've prayed this morning, with our culture, things are changing. The Judeo-Christian foundation that was so long supported is changing. There are churches today that are being told they can't meet in our country. Folks, this isn't new in our world. Years ago, the German pastor Martin Niemöller was told by a government official, "You can confine yourself to the church, I'll take care of the people." He replied, "You said just now, I will take care of the German people, but we too, as Christians and churchmen, have a responsibility towards the German people. That responsibility was entrusted to us by God, and neither you nor anyone else in this world has the power to take it from us." That German official was Adolf Hitler. Unfortunately, there are leaders in our country telling us, "You confine yourself to the church. We'll take care of the people." Folks, that is our responsibility. We're concerned for their spiritual health, for their souls. The First Amendment protects freedom of religion, but in some circles, you're hearing that terminology changed to freedom to worship. And what is often behind that is, confine yourself to the church. Keep it out of the marketplace. Keep it out of the world. No, we have to be willing to stand. We have to be steadfast. Live with a spiritual steadfastness. And if we're going to do that, we have to be listening to the voice of the Lord. Otherwise, we're not going to stand strong. We're not going to be brave. We see arise and go over, move forward. Be strong and courageous. We need to be brave. But there's a third thing that we see in this passage, and that's that we need to apply Scripture. This really is what are we hearing in our lives? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night to observe this, to do all that's written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Haven't I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. There was an article in Psychology Today that was titled, "The Voices Inside Your Head." And the author of that referred to what he called thought chatter. Said it's that chatter that can just absorb us and paralyze us. He said it can be thoughts of anything. You start thinking about the future. You think about the past, of parts of conversations, daydreams, all sorts of things can come into your mind. And from a secular perspective, he said there's different ways to deal with this. One is distraction. You know, just find something else that distracts you. He said, but that doesn't really last long. He said, what is more beneficial is meditation. Unfortunately, his idea of meditation was not biblical meditation. Folks, that's how we need to deal with that thought chatter. To bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To go into the Word. To spend time in prayer. And I find it many times that when I wake up in the night and that thought chatter comes. You know, you should have done this yesterday. And now you have to do that. And it all that. It's praying, okay, Lord, and take it, but it takes controlling those thoughts, bringing every thought into captivity. Allow God's word to direct your steps. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Talk about it. Let it be in your mouth. Speak the word. And parents, fathers, this is our responsibility. When we sit down, when we rise up, when we walk by the way, when we lie down, we're to talk about the Word with our children. We need to saturate our lives with God's Word. If you're saturated with it, then you can share it. If it's not in your life, it's not going to be in your mouth. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit. They are life." Jesus also said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." That one of the reasons God has given us physical hunger is so that we will be reminded of our spiritual hunger. And most of us, you know, we don't miss too many meals. You know, when our stomach speaks, we listen. You know, who's talking to you? Well, it's growling. I hear it. I need to go eat. What about your spiritual hunger? Can we go days without being in God's Word? Oh, how important it is that we need physical sustenance to survive. You need spiritual sustenance to survive and to thrive. If you're not in God's Word, you're not going to thrive. That's why I've encouraged our church family, let's read through the Bible and don't use a reading schedule as a weapon of guilt, but simply as a motivator. It's not the tool that's important, it's the truth. Be in God's Word. Need to have it in your mouth. It needs to be in our minds. Think about it. That you will meditate. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate it. Think about it. There's no magic formula for holiness. It's really God's word that impacts us. But Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word have I hidden in mine heart, that I will not sin against you." Folks, I don't think you can be overexposed to the word of God. I don't think that's the problem in our culture today. Because it's the core for our obedience. Allow the Lord to speak into our lives. Bring those verses to mind. If it's fear, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. If it's anxiety, casting all your anxieties, your cares upon Him because He cares for you. That we have God's Word, that we can deal with the battles. Let me encourage you to be systematically reading God's Word. Because you can't be influenced by what you don't know. We need to allow it to direct our steps, that we will obey it, that we will do all that's written in God's Word. So it directs us, and then allow God's Word to define success. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. How do we define success? I had a roommate in college. His idea of success was making a lot of money. He came as a freshman, and that was his goal. And the Lord got a hold of his heart, but I said, folks, you know, if money is our idea of success, then you don't have an eternal value system. Because the things of this world will pass away. The gold that is so sought after in this culture is the paving material in heaven. If you think popularity with people success, then you don't understand the joy of the praise of God. The smile of the Lord to hear well done. Success is finding God's will and accomplishing His purpose. That's biblical success. What would God have me do? That I want to serve Him is finding God's will, it's accomplishing His purpose, and it's doing it in God's power. So Luke 17:32 says, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. That really, our lives are to be lived for the glory of God. That God's goal for us is not that we be well-preserved specimens of humanity, but rather that we be living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto Him. As the songwriter put it, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So live according to spiritual guidance. Live with eternity in view. Allow God's word to saturate your life, to fill your mind, that you can trust in the Lord. So how can we apply this to our lives this morning? Think, first of all, you have promises to claim. God will strengthen you. Claim these promises. The longer that you gaze at the Lord, the smaller our problems become. It doesn't mean they disappear. It doesn't mean we don't have battles, but it puts them in perspective. That's why Joshua and Caleb said, we can go in, forget the giants, forget the walled cities. We can take this land because God's given it to us. The other spies looked at the giants. Joshua and Caleb looked at the Lord. See, people of faith don't see the giants, they see God. And if you see God, giants look like dwarfs. And that was the difference. That's why David could go up against Goliath. He said, this man should not be allowed to blaspheme God's name. Somebody needs to shut his mouth. He saw the glory of God. So we can be strengthened as we claim the promises. Secondly, we have battles to fight, and God will accompany us. This is why we have to be in God's Word daily. I don't know about you, but I don't normally wake up raring to go. First, I need my coffee. And I've told our staff, I try not to send emails before I have my devotions and my coffee. You don't want an email from me when I haven't had both of those in the morning. But you know, often it's the fear that comes. Oh, what about this? And what about this? And what if we've got this decision? And what about this? And we've got so many things. You know, it's this book that readjusts my thinking. It's getting into God's Word to have the right focus. You know, reading the news just increases my anxiety. Reading God's Word empowers and comforts. That we can go in the power of the Lord and in the presence of His Spirit, that we can live for His glory. And then thirdly, you have the resources to live. God will guide you. He has given us all that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So we need to be in His Word. Allow the Word to be a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. If you're His child, He has a plan for you. We are immortal until God is done with us. And when He's done, we get to see Him face to face. What a joy that will be. So when this, I've shared with you before, but when this disease was first breaking and we were in South Carolina in March, and I was walking and I saw a friend of mine, Jim Berg, and gave him a hug. He gave me a hug. And one of the other persons said, that's how the disease is spread. And Jim Berg replied, yeah, scare me with heaven. But folks, I think that needs to be our thinking. Not that we're going to be foolish. We've learned much since then. We're trying to be careful. The social distancing, the masks, we need to be careful. But are we really scared of heaven? And if you're a believer, that's what death is. It opens the door to your final home. Now, if you're not a believer, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That's what God's Word says. And if you will consistently hearken to the Word of God, it will allow you to courageously live for Him. Are you listening to God's voice? Who speaks into your life on a daily basis? When you're alone, when you're at work, are you trusting in Jesus Christ this morning? If you're here without Christ, we would love to take God's word and show you how you can have a relationship with Him.